Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Wendy's joining us from Durban this afternoon. Always lovely to have you with us, Wendy, even if it must be at a distance. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Let's hope technology is kind to us today.
Fingers crossed and everything else in the hopes that that may be so. We are going to be chatting about buying leather couches and about what's going on with Edgar's account changes and whatever else you throw Wendy's way in the open line. A reminder that if you want to raise a topic, you can call us on 021-446-0567. Send an SMS to 31567. Email me on pippah@capetalk.co.za or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Now, we're starting today's show in the lounge with what is often a very substantial purchase for a household, Wendy, and one that doesn't always pan out quite as expected.
Yes, I'm sad to say I have over the years fielded scores and scores of complaints about leather furniture in particular. A lot of furniture is described as leather, with that very specific, recognizable leather mark used and often abused. And so, if you don't know how to tell the difference between the real thing, the full leather, and the far cheaper forms of it, the ways the industry has come up with making it affordable to the mass market, and you don't know how to ask or which are the right questions to ask, you could end up having to put a throw over your awful sofa or suite a year or two or three down the line because it's cracking and peeling. And I could wallpaper my lounge with photographs people have sent me of those of those disasters, those so-called leather disasters.
Sure.
So for starters, how you buy leather furniture, anything else as well, obviously, but we're talking leather furniture here. What your rights are in terms of returning it when things go wrong depend very much on how you chose to buy that piece of furniture. So if you pay for something online and when it arrives looking nothing like the photograph on the retailer's website, or it's far smaller than you assumed it would be because you didn't think to check the dimensions. And I am very guilty of this very recently, I'm ashamed to admit.
Really?
not with furniture, but with some baking supplies. I've got a cooling rack that could – I mean, it looks like someone shrunk it, but my bad, I didn't check. You know, you have this thing in your mind, and without the scale, you just make assumptions that don't often pan out. Actually, I also recently bought a wicker, an outdoor sort of – faux wicker suite, and I had in my mind what it looked like, and when it arrived, it was like Disney World, you know, like a three-quarter size of everything, which works, but it's the scale is different. So there's a very important warning if you're buying something online. But I digress. The thing is that if you did buy that furniture or whatever it was online, and it wasn't right, you didn't check or whatever, you do have the right, thanks to the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act, to send it back, albeit at your cost, but you can send it back for a full refund within 7 days. You have that get out of spend free situation if you buy online. But if you buy something in the traditional way in a bricks and mortar store, you can only get a refund or a replacement if that's your choice, or repair even, if it breaks or becomes unfit for purpose within 6 months. So it's not a case of you get home and it doesn't fit in your lounge or it overpowers your lounge or whatever, or your daughter doesn't like it. You don't then have the right to take it back for a refund because you had the opportunity to inspect and whatever before you bought it. Or so you should have, but it doesn't always work out that way with furniture because, you know, it's big. This is a big product and often you don't buy it on and take it away the same day.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. If you order – so a case I had recently, Pippa, of a woman who – and this is very common way that furniture is bought. You go into the showroom and you like something and that's the demo model, right? And they may also show you a sample of leather. You might choose the color of leather you want from a tiny little swatch, right?
Yeah.
When it's delivered later, several weeks down the line, you don't have the automatic no reason required right to send it back within 7 days for a refund because you didn't buy it online.
Right.
But it's a very tricky area because you're also not buying – you're not getting the actual thing that you saw in the shop in most cases. Yes. So there's a gamble there. So the Consumer Protection Act would protect you if what you got wasn't what you saw, but it becomes very subjective then. And I had a case study very recently, the last week or two, which speaks to this.
This was the woman in Umhlanga who ordered a brown full leather sofa from the showroom of a national furniture retailer. So she went into the retailer, saw it on the showroom. Obviously, the set that was delivered to her was not the actual set she'd seen on the showroom. No. It was a version thereof, and she wasn't happy when it arrived, Wendy.
No, so she actually also based her decision on, I think she first saw it online, a picture of the sofa online. It was one of those sort of brown, quite distressed, some people like that distressed
yes.
look, shabby chic sort of vibe. And then she actually went into the showroom and she saw it, and she was on the basis of that, made her payment. It was a post-lockdown sale price. It was quite heavily discounted, but not because there was anything wrong with it. It was coming out of lockdown price of 14,000 rand for the single sofa. But when it was delivered last month, she said it was a completely different color. She said it's much darker. It was sort of a solid chocolate rather than this lighter distressed, finish that she'd seen in the showroom. And she said, it just doesn't go in my house. It also has a slightly different texture. And she sent me photographs. She very cleverly took one of the leather cushions from the couch she'd been delivered and went into the store with it and put it between the two cushions, cushions. I thought that was very – I stored that for future advice. And you can see, and she took, and this is the other thing, very, very clear close-up photograph, which most smartphones can do these days. And you could see the difference. I actually posted on Twitter. I didn't name the store or anything. And I said what the retailer said was, no, it's just dye differences. And we told you there might be dye differences. She denies being told that. But the differences are, to my mind and to 99.9% of the many people who responded, they were certainly not reasonable. They were way beyond what one would expect. Anyway, I actually did compose an email. I had all the evidence and the photos and sent it off, and I had missed an email from the complainant the day before saying, sorry, they've come back to me and they've had a rethink and they're going to refund me. And they did. It had nothing to do with me. But I dare say that case would have been very hard for them to argue against giving her a refund. But well done. That's why I'm not actually naming and shaming them. Well done to them for doing the right thing. But it does highlight the fact that leather being a natural product, and this was full leather. It wasn't a split or bonded leather. It was full, nice, supple, mushy leather. The hides are not identical because the animals aren't identical. And sometimes they put different finishes on the leathers. And if you're buying from a demo model in store, there is a very good chance that you will be disappointed by what arrives a few weeks later. And then, as I say, it then becomes a subjective squabble about what is a reasonable difference and what is not.
Okay, which makes it all the more important to know what you're looking at, what sort of questions you need to be asking before you commit to that purchase. And Wendy, I know you reached out for some expert advice on this. What did you find out?
I did. I spoke to Hugo Zioani of Leatherlink, which is the exclusive Cape agent for South Africa's largest upholstery leather tannery, Hanitan, based up in Gauteng. I've spoken to Hugo on several occasions over the years with the various leather complaints that I've received, and I've used his advice in many of my columns and shows. He said some leather – well, first of all, he said – and I'm so sorry he didn't want to join us on air today. Just said, no, I don't like that idea of speaking on live radio. But we had a lovely, lovely long chat off air. And he said things have improved in the last 10 to 15 years that I've been writing about this issue. And there's a lot more disclosure. So product will be labeled bonded leather, and I'll get to what that is in a minute, rather than just leather, so that people do have there is that disclosure. But my worry is, do consumers know what bonded leather is, or think to ask? Because I don't think many people look beyond the word leather. So anyway, Hugo said some leather retailers expect their customers to choose, as I said just now, from a 10 by 10 centimeter swatch. So he said it's no wonder that there are surprises on delivery day. And then I showed him the close-up photos of the two leathers in question that we've just spoken about. And he said it appeared that they had been, it's not just a dye variance. They'd been processed completely differently, hence the massive mismatch. And she was most definitely entitled to a refund.
Okay, so something of a moot point, given that, as we know, this customer has been given her refund. But what advice did Hugo give for those who are contemplating such a purchase in the future?
Yeah, he says it's quite difficult to give advice about leather because people have different ideas about what leather should be and what leather they want. So he said you get a certain customer that wants the white leather sofa that's very clean and perfect and flawless. And he said then you need to buy what's called a corrected grain product. But it's got polyurethane, a layer over, and it's embossed with a certain, sometimes not, just absolutely sheer, right? And he said, bear in mind that it's technically leather, but actually it's more synthetic than leather. What you're sitting on is not full leather.
Okay.
And then you get the others who want that lovely gentleman's club look vibe, with all the age marks and the whatever and the way that it ages, That's a different kind of customer. But he said to tell the difference between genuine leather and the totally synthetic version. And he said this to me for the first time. So I was fascinated and he sent me photographs to show me what he was talking about. He says, you prod your finger into the squishiest part of the chair or the sofa and the genuine leather product goes what he calls pipey. He says it's sort of fine lines radiating out from your prod. You can imagine that. He said, but the synthetic product doesn't do that. It just folds into a definite crease. You don't get these radiating lines. So I just can't wait to go to a showroom and start prodding the furniture to see, but I'll leave that out there. And he said, ideally, buying leather, you should touch, and I think this goes for most things, really. Buying online has its advantages, and most of us, I should say, have embraced it a lot more than we were doing before March lockdown. But ideally, you should touch it and sit on it, really test it out before you buy it, so that you know if it's a right fit for you. He doesn't personally think that buying online is a great idea. He calls it a bit of a gamble. But then again, you do have that 7-day cooling off period. Yeah. It is a schlep, and you do have to pay the cost of sending it back. And with a lounge suite or even just a single sofa,
that could be
pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, sorry, Wendy, the bonded leather issue. So he said to you, at least things have improved in terms of retailers disclosing that something is bonded leather versus real leather. But as you rightly said, does the average customer know what bonded leather even is? I don't. I'd never heard the term before I looked at your notes this morning. So tell us a bit more, please.
Well, it's quite a cheek, really. So they take the shavings that come off the hides, literally leather shavings, fine little like leather dust, I suppose, add a latex binder to them, compress that, and then put a layer of a top coat of polyurethane, PU, on top. He says it's very, very firm. You can imagine full leather, proper leather has a lot of flexibility, and it has sort of a drape so that it's we all sort of had experience of that. Whereas this stuff, this mostly plastic stuff with the smell of leather because it's got those leather shavings on it, is very, very firm, and it should ideally only be used on tub chairs, which don't have a lot of give. On items that are constantly flexing, he says it will crack and peel for sure. And that is what I've seen many examples of over the years. And so is he. So we both have these horrible grim collection of these sofas, which then have to be covered with throws, as I said. And the person would have done so much better to just buy a good quality fabric rather lounge suite, which would have lasted them
a lot
much
longer
and much better. Yeah.
A lot of people think, Wendy, that the price is the key indicator here, that if it's expensive, it must be good quality, and leather suites are expensive, but that's not always the case.
No, I was interested to hear Hugo say this, and I think it applies to other products as well. This is where consumer perception comes in. He said some retailers import cheap leather lounge suites from China. They add a low margin and they make their money on big volumes. He says others import the same cheap suites, but they add a huge margin, banking on consumers perceiving the product to be good quality because of the price.
Wow.
Can you imagine? What a cheat. And I mean, it's willing buyer, willing seller.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing there's no law that prohibits someone from adding a monstrous markup if people want to buy it and they haven't done their homework, then there's no recourse. Yeah.
Scary stuff. Okay, very quickly before we go to news, anything else that you want to mention to our listeners based on your conversation with Hugo and his advice? Or of any other case studies you've dealt with, for that matter?
Well, I just had a case study today. I came in this morning. Someone bought a lounge suite in March before lockdown. It was delivered in July. One of the couches was damaged, and they basically contested taking it back and said they would originally they said they'd replace the entire suite because of the color difference.
Yeah.
Leather batches. Then they went back on that and said they would only replace the damaged couch. Now she's saying, this is Felicity, what if that replacement is a different color, doesn't match? And I said, well, clearly you're entitled to a matching lounge suite if that's what you bought. So they would most definitely have to replace the whole thing or refund her if that was a, you know, that couch was sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested to get the feedback on that. But another interesting thing that comes out of leather, if one is damaged, now what do? You have to have the whole thing replaced if they can't match it.
Exactly, the entire suite, not just the damaged chair. So do keep that in mind. Okay, I mean, it really pays in this case to do business with a reputable supplier, Wendy, and somebody who's got a good name for doing business honorably.
Absolutely. And I think the more you can engage with the actual product you want to buy and ask questions around the type of leather, the better. Because as I always say, the effort required to protect yourself from a bad deal before you buy is far, far, far less than that required to deal with the problem that you're sitting with afterwards. So put that effort in upfront.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Email Wendy on consumer@nola.co.za.
Right, before we leave the leather issue, Wendy, a couple of questions and comments coming through. Cynthia's wondering how big should the test swatches be for leather? It's not something that's set in stone, but the point was that 10 by 10 is a very small little patch of leather to be able to assess what it'll look like on a bigger scale.
Hugo didn't say, to be honest, but he just said that, I mean, 10 by 10 is a little hanky, you know, I mean, it's very tiny. And he just felt to order an entire suite, if they don't have a sample of that particular colored dye in store, to order an entire suite off such a tiny thing was a gamble. And I imagine for somebody that works in leather, that makes sense. So I don't know. At least something that you could sort of drape over the couch that is in store and get a better idea of what it would look like. I mean, there's not enough light that's falling on that tiny, you know, different types of lights and shadows and things. So, you know, he just said he knows that that is a practice of some stores and he's, you know, he doesn't feel that that is an appropriate way to choose a color for an entire suite or an entire sofa or chair even.
Okay. Then the other question is, I've just purchased a double cinema recliner chair, which apparently has leather uppers. What does this mean? I had to Google it. Wendy, I don't know if you know the answer.
I do know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm surprised we haven't done leather on the show. It's one of my favorite topics because it's, you know, it causes so much problem. So it's something that they came up with, that, which means that all the bits that your bum, to put it bluntly, and your arms would touch your body – is proper leather uppers, and the bits, the backs and the sides are not leather. They're synthetic leather. So it's a bit of a cheat but the bits that need to be flexible and hard wearing and the sort of supple, genuine leather are the bits that you are sitting on, because that's where Hugo was talking about the flexing and that.
Yes.
That's where the leather's under strain. And if you've got a very rigid synthetic product, things are more likely to go wrong there. And also you're not touching, you're not having that sensation of skin on the synthetic leather. You're having it on the real leather product.
Yeah.
But it's a way of making it cheaper and so-called more affordable to do it that way, so they don't cover the entire product in leather.
Okay. Thanks for the
explanation. By the way, they do that in cars as well.
Really?
You have leather seats in a car. Yeah. So the bit that your body's touching, but the side bits, if you have a look, if you've got leather seats in your car, that's what they do.
Okay, that's interesting. Mm. Okay, thanks for alerting us to that. All right, we're going to move away from leather onto Edgar's accounts. We took an email last week about this, and since then I've been keeping an eye on social media. And Wendy, there's been a rash of complaints from Edcon customers who are upset about changes to their accounts, so particularly the company doing away with its 6-month interest-free plan. You've been looking into it. What's the background here?
I have. So customers in the last couple of days got an SMS reading, "Dear valued customer," and that always makes me go, uh-oh, because it's,
you know what's
seldom
coming.
Good after that. They tell you they value you, and then they actually
proceed to explain how they opposite. Don't. Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, like they've got no say in the matter. Unfortunately, the 6-month interest-free plan on your Edgar's account is no longer available, but you can still purchase using the revolving 24 or 36 months plan option. What the SMS does is say, of course, is that there's very much interest attached to that.
Yeah.
And then my favorite, we apologize for any inconvenience caused. As I always say, inconvenience is not a catch-all. It doesn't begin to – it's not inconvenient to have your 6 months interest-free period suddenly taken away from you when you've enjoyed it for decades. It's not inconvenient. It's a lot more than that. So clearly, it's not going down too well. If you go onto Edgar's social media accounts, Twitter in particular, there's just every you hit tweets and replies, and you just see the poor person manning that account or people are just constantly repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
So people are saying, for example, one today, I'm astounded that Edgar's can simply SMS changes to their terms of agreement with no warning or discussion. In store this week, I was assured that no changes were expected to cardholders. Bye-bye, Edgar's. Grant tweeted, please provide details of where I agreed to this or where I consented to you changing the terms and conditions. And that's a common one. So Edgar CEO Grant Patterson proactively reached out to me, seeing me having some exchanges on Twitter about this issue, and he asked me to take up the matter with RCS. I'll get to how they fit into the picture in a moment, but the Edgar's Help Twitter response team have been doing the same thing in response to tweets by these very indignant Edgar's account holders, saying, thank you for sharing your frustration. There are many changes at Edgar's due to the Edcon business rescue, including accounts moving to RCS. You may have received details about this from RCS directly.
Okay, so here's the nub. So, Wendy, just remind us of the background. What is the relationship between Edcon and RCS?
Okay, so ABSA, which had Edcon's debtors book, that is those people that owe money to Edgar's, they sold that to RCS a year ago, just about last October. But RCS only very recently took over its current accounts, so everyone who has an Edgar's account, and managing that process when Edcon went into business rescue. So RCS is based in Cape Town. It's entered into commercial agreements with Edcon, which of course owns several brands, including Edgar's, Sienna and Jet, for the rights to provide consumer finance products to Edcon customers, including credit cards, store cards, and personal loans. So they've got that whole back-end package, right?
Okay.
And there's also been, of course, a very big change with Edgar's itself. A Durban-based company called Retailability only this month finalized its purchase of the 91-year-old Edgar's, so Edgar's specifically, chain from Edcon earlier this month. Edcon, of course, being under business rescue.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of complication going on in the background, and Hollard's also looking after the insurance products. It's for the, you know, and the poor consumer is just left in the middle of all of this, suddenly told, sorry, your 6-month interest-free plan is over. So I did approach RCS's CEO, Regan Adams, who I've spoken to about several matters in the past. I mean, they provide store cards to about 20 different retailers. So there are a lot of consumers in South Africa who have dealings with RCS. So I put it to him that the 6-month interest-free offering has been a staple of retail accounts for decades. And Truworths and TFG, they still offer it. So I asked, are the financial rewards of doing away with this interest-free period worth the potential reputational damage and further account closures at this time? So responding to me, Adam said, the business rescue process made for a very complex situation with many parties involved, as I've just said. But he said about the 6-month interest-free plan, the new owner of Edgar's, that's Retailability, made the decision not to offer a 6-month interest-free as a plan option anymore. So it's not an RC sort of stepping away saying it's not
it's not our decision.
Managing. It's the new owner who's decided that that's not going to be a thing anymore. And I think, I mean, obviously as a consumer journalist, I would say I don't think that's a good move, because they've been hemorrhaging. I mean, Edcon Group had it just, you know, millions and millions of account holders, and that's been dwindling for several reasons lately. But I think, you know, as that one person commented on Twitter today, bye-bye Edgars, for many people, this might just be the last straw.
Yeah.
They just feel, you know, it's a loss of trust. Incidentally, at what's adding salt to the wound is that the Edgars Thank You Financial Services team, inverted commas, sent emails to customers as recently as the middle of August outlining the various payment plans on offer. And in that letter, that email included 6 months interest-free plan. This means that you will repay this purchase over 6 months in equal installments with no interest applied, provided you keep your account up to date, only available in Edgars stores. That was in the middle of August.
But as you say, the sale, the purchase by Retailability has only just been confirmed this month. So it's understandable. Exactly. There's a new owner. Happened. They're implementing new policies, finished and clear. But it must, as you say, rub salt into the wound as an account holder to have been told in August, don't worry, it's still going to be available, and then get an email, an SMS in September saying, sorry for you, it's gone.
Exactly. And they're calling it, Regan Adams of Aussie has said, with the acquisition of Edgars by Retailability and then the subsequent split between the Edgars the retailer and the credit provider, there were certain changes and enhancements made to the product, which included the removal of the 6 month interest free plan. Now, I don't know who's calling that an enhancement or a change, but I don't think consumers would call it an enhancement. And then, of course, there's a lot of detail around how the 24-month and 36-month revolving credit works. And the one thing it has remained is that if you have 55 days interest-free if you settle the full outstanding balance every month. That's one way on every credit card or store card. If you pay in full, not just the minimum amount, but if you pay in full every month, you don't pay interest. But in this economy, a lot of people can't afford to do that, and many, many people relied heavily on that 6 months interest-free period. Yeah.
So here's an interesting one. Shanaz has just messaged us, who has an Edgars account and does not want to have it any longer. She says, I would like to pay my small balance and close my account. Where can I pay? Who does she go to? Shanaz, I think, is one of many confused customers, not sure what's going on with all the changes.
That's an interesting one, which I didn't canvas, but I would say go to, if you're on Twitter, and it must be on Facebook as well, Edgars Help, and they're very responsive on there, and just ask what is the procedure. As with any other store card, you must insist, they love to just give you a paid up letter. And the account stays open, which opens you up to fraud. And I saw that with an RCS account in a recent story, which is the last time I dealt with Regan Adams. So you must actually insist on them sending you a letter confirming that the account is closed. Because if you're sitting with a paid-up account and you've got a nice big credit limit sitting there, you are just, it's just a matter of time before a fraudster can climb in. So it's very, very important. I did an exercise many, many years ago in the days where I still got a bonus, Christmas time, and I settled all my store cards, including my Edgars card, Woolworths, Truworths, the lot. Some I'd opened as consumer journalists, as an exercise. But I battled. I wrote a story about it. I battled to get that confirmation. They just don't do it unless you really force them to. So very important that. I'm sorry I can't give you the advice now, but they are very – Edgar's social media team is very responsive, and they should be able to give you an answer on that. And then you have it in writing as to
what thinking. You
were required to do.
Okay. Yeah. Shanaz, thanks for flagging it. One more thing also, just to say that customers are still going to be able to use their Edgar's cards at not just Edgar's but also Jet and Sunglass Hut and Legit stores, Wendy. Is that correct?
That's correct. And also to say, any purchases that have already now previously been made on the 6 month interest-free plan remain in force. This change is only applicable from any purchases made from now, from this week, okay, when they've introduced this.
Okay, so if you bought in August thinking you had 6 months interest free, you do have 6 months interest free on that purchase.
You do, yes. Okay. It's when you buy from now, new purchases. Sorry, I should have stressed that earlier. It's very important.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, and thank you to the person who flagged this issue with us last week and set us on the road to investigate. It's clearly affecting a large number of people.
It is.
If you'd like to comment, you're very welcome to send a voice note to 072-567-1567. With that, having wrapped the Edgar's conversation, we're going to move into open line. And let's go straight to the voice notes, because we have an email about what to do about getting a refund for a bed which hasn't been slept in, I believe. Let's take a listen.
Oh,
hi, Pippa. I just wondered, I bought a double bed and I paid cash for it, but now I'm not able to use it any longer. It's still brand new because the place that I was offered, I can no longer occupy. So now I'm sitting with a 4,500 rand bed that I purchased, but I got no use for it. But it's not even a month yet. But am I still entitled to get a refund on that? Could you please ask Wendy? Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. Wendy, what's your suggestion to Sean?
Sean didn't say how he bought it, but I suspect he bought it from a store, in which case, and even if he'd bought it online, the 7-day cooling off period is long gone. He said he's had it a month. So I'm so sorry, Sean. That's the bed not being defective. You have no right of return at all. The best you can do is, advertise it and try and say it's brand new, unused, and try and get as close as possible to your purchase price as you can.
Okay, so sell it on Gumtree or something like that and make it very clear that
I'd
it is brand
so.
New. Okay. All right, thanks.
Not place, something like that.
Not the answer he would have hoped for, but that is the one that is factual. So thanks, Sean, for your voice note. Okay, then we received an email this morning from and I couldn't believe it when I opened my inbox and saw another email from Leanne, because she contacted us back in May about her issue and I just assumed it was resolved. Leanne has been struggling since May to get a refund out of Makro, Wendy. She placed an online order on the 7th of May and paid by EFT and sent a proof of payment through to the store. But by the 12th of May, when she checked on her order, the system was still saying that her payment was pending. And long story short, lots of phone calls, lots of emails. She finally got someone to forward her proof of payment directly to the accounts department. And instead of releasing her order on receipt of payment, they cancelled it. And that was the 12th of May. It's now the 29th of September, and she still hasn't had that EFT reversed to refund her money. She wrote to say the amount's a couple of thousand rand. She was really stuck. She desperately needed that money to buy supplies at the time. She got a notification in early August that she was due a refund, and she opted to get it as an SMS voucher because the finance team at Makro told her that was going to be the quickest way to get her money back. And they did apologize, and they said they were struggling with major backlogs. But again, that was the middle of August. This morning she mailed me to say she still hasn't got her money back.
No.
What
I know.
Advice, Wendy?
I got involved at one stage and she said, no, it's fine. It's coming right. And it clearly didn't.
Yeah.
Look, this is just those cases. It's a little bit different. They changed, the Makro changed its bank details and wanted her to go onto a third party payment app to pay there. And she didn't feel comfortable. And I don't blame her. It was lockdown. Things are crazy. And she just, so that's why she decided to do the EFT to the store. But it was slightly different, you see. So now we're sitting, do you remember the shows we did on the online retailers and just how the wheels fell off with delivery? It was just the couriers were heavily restricted. There were backlogs. Everybody was, we couldn't go into stores. Everybody was buying stuff online. So not to make any excuses, and Makro's had more than its fair share of complaints around this. But I think this is the context of this complaint. So a slightly different payment in this middle of this worst collapse of service online and the big backlogs. But there's no excuse. Things have been sort of back to normal, kind of as far as normal can go, for a month or two now.
Yeah.
And somebody should have – this is when a company doesn't have somebody that takes charge and ownership of difficult cases, the ones that are, they have a lot of complexity to them like this one. There should be someone heroing those kind of cases, and clearly there isn't. So I already started in the break – just now writing to my contact, one of the higher ups at Massmart, who I know will sort this out. very quickly and be very embarrassed that it's taken this long. But, you know, as always, it shouldn't have to have come to this. Yeah. Leanne should have been able to sort it out on her own. But I look forward to starting next week's show by saying that Leanne has her refund finally.
Let's hope so. Fingers crossed. Okay. We're going to squeeze in one last very quick one because I think it is easily dispensed with. It's a comment from William on Facebook who was very annoyed because a restaurant charged them more on their bill than the price listed on the menu for the item they had consumed. And when he queried it, he was told, sorry, the price on the menu was wrong. That's not okay,
I'm
is
sorry.
It?
It's definitely not okay. Short answer, the Consumer Protection Act says that you must pay the price displayed unless it's an obvious error. This is definitely not an obvious error. Clearly, other people had pointed it out and they've just left it there or they haven't bothered to. If you know, restaurants have had a terribly tough time. If you don't want to reprint your menu, you just put a sticker on and you make sure your waiters tell the patrons, sorry, that this is now the price. There's absolutely no excuse for that. And I hope William didn't pay the higher amount.
So you had the right to insist on paying the lower
Absolutely.
Amount. William, maybe you want to send us a follow-up comment and let us know how that ended up, that situation. You know, the stupid thing is, Wendy, again, you know, had they conceded it was a mistake and let him pay for the meal at the lower price, he probably would have come back again. I doubt he will ever go there again because of the way the experience
exactly.
panned out.
And also the poor waiter probably didn't get as much of a tip as he or she would have because now
aggrieved.
William is understandably irritated. Yeah, it's all bad. I don't understand that kind of thing at all. As I say, you don't have to reprint all the menus. You just have to do right by your patrons and give them full pricing, transparent,
disclosure.
Honest,
yeah.
Accurate price disclosure. Yeah.
Wendy, as always, it's been a pleasure having you on the show this afternoon, and we look forward to welcoming you back in studio in the normal Wednesday time slot from next week.
Yes.
Thank
Enjoy
you so
the bus ride. I'm so sorry I can't join you.
Oh, we're going to miss you, Wendy. I wish you could be coming with us tomorrow. Just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to reach out to Wendy, you can do so on her Facebook page, Wendy Nola Consumer, or by sending an email to consumer@nola.co.za, spelled KNOWLER. Please do remember to put the words Cape Talk in the subject line, as well as a word or two about the nature of the problem. So William would have said, Cape Talk, restaurant pricing. It's as easy as that.